Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, I am so glad you're back, and today's interview really is a treat. I talk with Ashley Cagle, who is the Vice President of Economic Development at Wake County Economic Development. And she's got a really great story of how she came into the profession, and she shares wisdom really far beyond her years throughout our conversation. She dives into workforce woes, the importance of placemaking, and navigating this industry as not just a woman, but also a young woman when she first started. And Ashley talks about the one thing that people have to have in order to succeed in this role. And she gives us a tiny peek behind the curtain of why her region is booming. So let's shift over to Ashley. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am Faye Davis, and I am super excited because I am here today with Ashley Cagle. Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. We've been lucky to have such an awesome group of America's top 50 economic developers. So I'm really excited. It is your second time on our podcast. I'm really excited to dive into some other questions, different ones from the last time we talked. So kind of first things first, how did you land in economic development? And, you know, everybody's journey is always so different. And we love learning about the path you took to get where you are today. So fill us in.
Yeah, you're right. I think everybody has a different journey, and it's so funny to unpack that sometimes because our paths are all completely different. For me, I was working in a rural county in North Carolina. I was working for a nonprofit called Communities and Schools. I was their executive director, and one of the county commissioners, this is like a great small town story, was on my board of directors. And he said, he popped into my office one day and said, you know, we're having a really hard time filling our economic development position. Would you consider applying for it? And I said, I don't even know what that means. I literally don't even know what that job means, what they do. I don't know. And he said, well, you know, you need to be able to talk to people and you need to kind of be a hard worker, but you could probably just learn the rest. And I was like, okay. I was very young. I was 23 at the time. And so probably with my young mind, I was like feeling very bold and confident. And I was like, sure, let's give it a try, you know? And so kind of the rest is history. I ended up getting the job. I'm sure the price tag that I came with was one that they could afford. But ignorance is bliss. I took the job. Fortunately, I got to shadow the existing executive director for the better part of a year as she transitioned out. She had been doing the job for 20 years. So she really knew the county. She knew what she was doing. And probably what I learned from her was in a way more impactful than some of the courses that I took even, you know, just to be able to get that knowledge. So that's how I came to be in economic development, which is so funny to me because now I can't picture myself doing anything else, but it never was something that was even on my radar.
Yeah. Well, you certainly were thrown in the thick of it. Like, here you go, learn on the fly.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for those who have had any rural experience or currently rural economic developers, you don't just get thrown into the thick of it in a rural environment. Very complicated. There's just a whole other set of challenges. And so my learning curve was steep, but there were some great people there who embraced me, and we got a lot done. It was really a great time.
Well, I think this is a really good segue to another question I had for you, because you came from a very rural role before this, but you're now working in a very urban region. So what lessons have you learned along the way? And when it comes to that business attraction piece, how has your experience with the rural side helped shape your current strategy for business attraction?
Yeah, something I think about a lot. We've been fortunate that we've had a good sort of run of wins here in the Triangle. And myself and our CEO, and a couple of other folks who worked on a large life science project here recently got interviewed. And the title of the article was Economic Development Secret Weapon, Women in Economic Development. And it was interesting because the writer, who's someone who's been in North Carolina economic development circles for a long time, so the angle he wanted to take for me and my piece of this was how I have been really engaged in workforce development for a really long time. He could remember back to when I was in Montgomery County creating an apprenticeship program, back before people created apprenticeship programs, and we were sort of we set outside of all the major urban areas and some of their traditional apprenticeship and workforce things that they had going on. So we really had to build it. And it was interesting because it was a tough sell locally for that to be where I was spending my time. But as we focused on existing industries, or the number one thing that we were hearing from a lot of our manufacturers were they could not get any labor in sort of industrial maintenance roles. That was sort of the biggest pain point. They were having people commute in from South Carolina. You know, there just was not that trained workforce for those roles. And so we partnered with the community college, with our workforce board, with our largest employers, and we created an apprenticeship around industrial maintenance. It's one of the most rewarding things I think I've ever done, because the average salary for those positions at the time, and this is, you know, 9-10 years ago, was about $60,000, which is more than double the average wage for the county. And so when we went into the high schools and had parent nights and talked to them about sort of the potential to sign on to this program, I remember some of the parents crying because they couldn't even picture themselves, much less their kids, earning that type of wage. And so I developed a passion really early on for workforce development, which has certainly carried over to my role now. I oversee all of our workforce development talent attraction programs, but I think that's the through thread for all economic development positions, regardless of rural, urban, wherever you are. As economic developers, we have a certain responsibility to sort of take care of and maintenance workforce. If we want to be successful, we have to be beating that drum. And so I would say that, I don't know if it's a lesson that I learned necessarily so much as the thing that feels like the unifier, sort of the great unifier between rural and urban. And I think it's important for people to remember that in that respect, we're really not all that different. I mean, we all have workforce challenges and pain points that have to be addressed. And as economic developers, you got to sit in the driver's seat for those things. And then beyond that, I think working in a rural county, I really learned how to talk to and communicate with people of all walks of life and backgrounds. And I think that really helped me as I transitioned into a much larger area and understanding sort of all the people and the players. But in a rural area, you know, you really get to know the bones of a place. And that means, you know, you work with landowners and you meet their family and you go to their house and they feed you dinner. And, you know, you really get to know people, and those relationships are super important, regardless of rural, urban. You have to form really solid relationships with people so that when you need them, you can call them and you can get stuff done.
I love it. I love all of that. And it's so relevant because, I mean, who isn't struggling with that workforce development piece right now? So thank you for sharing that. One of the cities in your region, Cary, North Carolina, was recently named the number two city for working from home. So, you know, very, very timely, very relevant to today's landscape and work. But in addition to that low cost of living and lots of outdoor recreation, what else makes like that Cary, North Carolina, what else makes Cary, North Carolina a special place to work from home for that generation that's doing that right now? And, you know, are there any incentives in your region to continue to attract either remote workers or encourage employers to offer remote working?
Yeah, so Cary is a wonderful place and town. And I think one thing that Cary has gotten right over the years is placemaking. They've not unlike some of our other municipalities, and we happen to have 12 municipalities in our county, in addition to the Research Triangle Park, the southern part of the park anyway. A lot of them have had to sort of build an identity. Some of them have really strong downtowns that are sort of your historic downtowns, but others like Cary and Holly Springs and some of our other municipalities have had to truly build that. And Cary has done a great job with that. It is a fantastic place to be. I think one of the things that people from out of town who move here, and this isn't just to Cary, that they are a great example of this, they realize that when they move here, there's a lot of things or some important things about where they live that they can find here as well. And sort of that diversity of offerings of things to do and places to eat contributes to the quality of life that people find here. In addition to the things that you mentioned, like cost of living, we're still below the national average in terms of cost of living. And we've talked more about weather in the last year or two than I think we ever have. The ability to live in this temperate climate where you can get outside pretty much year round. We have mild winters. Some say the summers are a little too hot, but you can get outside year round. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of miles of connected greenway trails and just tons of outdoor opportunities. And we find that really draws people in, especially when their commute times are such that they can realistically do all of those things, which brings me to the other question you raised about remote working. You know, obviously we don't have a crystal ball. We kind of see what a lot of our companies are doing right now in terms of offering sort of a hybrid approach to remote work. I think that in the Triangle, we offer a unique position on this because we're not historically a headquarters market, though we do have a lot of great headquarters here and we continue to recruit new headquarters, so that's good. But what we have been successful recruiting over the years is sort of the center of excellence, the R&D, really large projects with major presence in our market. And it's interesting because most of those companies are coming from a New York or California, and they're exiting those markets or expanding out of those markets for the cost, like you mentioned, but also because of their ability to attract workforce. But the interesting thing is, in those locations that they've been in, they've tried the remote work thing and it didn't do a whole lot for their company culture. So a lot of times we see when companies come here, they're almost doing it as a reset. Like, hey, this is the experience that we've been having where we are. Can't say it's the best. We think it could be better. We really want a strong company culture. I think about Infosys, which announced in our market a few years ago, 2,000 jobs, and they announced, I think, 5 total hubs across the U.S., same jobs in each one. But their driver for that was to create a sense of belonging to Infosys. They're all contract employees, so they had no office presence, so to speak. So they identified with Apple or Google or whoever they were contracting with, but they didn't identify as an Infosys employee. And they picked locations that could help drive that culture piece. And so we see in our market companies being the most successful when they get that culture piece right. And I personally think that that means an in-office component. I know that remote work is really an attractive notion. And I'm hopeful that sort of the hybrid approach is what takes off, because we see companies just having the most success when they can most effectively collaborate. And that tends to be in person. But we also really like to live our life here. We always say there's no such thing as a work-life balance, but there is a way to do work really well and to do life really well. And, you know, when you're able to be at home a little bit more than you normally would be, life's a little bit easier. So I think that that fits really well with the culture that we have already created and that we embrace here. And I hope we'll see more of that.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for, you know, diving in so deep and offering your thoughts around the whole thing, because I agree. I think we're going to start seeing more companies coming back to work. And in order to have a really great culture, you can't, there's no substitute for that in-person mix of people. You see someone, you overhear someone say something, and that's where your real culture starts coming into play. So thank you for that. Okay. Earlier you mentioned that you were a part of an article where the secret weapon is women in economic development. So I had planned to ask you this already anyway, because economic development is becoming more diverse as younger generations do fill into the profession. And you said you got started very early on, and you are an up and coming woman to watch in the industry. So what advice do you have for people who may not fit like that traditional stereotype of what an economic developer is, and for those people who want to grow their career in this field?
You know, think about when I first started, you know, I mentioned I was a fresh 23, and I remember going to my first North Carolina Economic Development Association event, conference, whatever it was. And I looked around and I was like, what in the world have I gotten myself into? Like, not only did no one look like me, I brought the average age down by quite a bit. And there's this funny story that I was talking with someone about recently, where it used to be at those conferences that there were so many men in the industry that there'd be a line for the men's room and there'd be no one in the women's restroom because there weren't really hardly any women in the field.
What a world that would be to live in.
Right. And, you know, I think
I'm just kidding. But...
I just laughed because I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true. Like, we really, we've come a long way just in terms of more representation in economic development amongst gender and race and sort of other factors that contribute to diversity. And, you know, people reach out all the time saying like, hey, I'm interested in this field. What do I need to do? And, you know, I don't think there's really a great answer to that. You know, one thing I have found that you have to have as an economic developer is passion. And you may not always start with great passion for the place that you're representing, but you've got to have that as sort of a baseline of who you are, because you have to be overly committed to the cause. And the cause is your community and sort of all that means. And I think a lot of times people see headlines about companies, you know, we're still reveling in our recent announcement from Apple, and they think like, oh, that's so, you know, sexy and that'd be so fun to do. But the work behind that is really intense. And so I think that when people consider economic development, you know, they really have to think about, do they have that passion? Do they have passion for potentially the career, the community? You got to have that. But the advice that I would give is, especially for younger people who may be interested in the field, is you kind of have to get yourself in the mix somehow. And that may be getting involved in like with the local chamber or your economic development group, you know, looking for internships. And a lot of those things are harder to do, but some of the things that are easy to do are things like all of our county commissioner meetings and town meetings right now are all virtual. And what a great opportunity to start to learn sort of the mechanics of how places work by listening in to some of these meetings. I think that people really have to understand sort of the layers and the details associated with the position. And that can be a really easy way to sort of test it out, test if you think that you could be passionate about this. But I truly think that we are evolving as a field. We have a position that we're getting ready to open in our office right now, and we were reviewing the job description yesterday, and we decided to take the education requirements off the job description. We determined that you don't need a bachelor's degree to do the job that we have posted, that we want a more diverse group of candidates. We want to work with our workforce board and our community college. And by having that four-year degree requirement, we're not doing ourselves any favor in terms of candidate selection. And there are so many great, talented people who don't have a four-year degree. So I think we kind of all have to keep thinking about how we evolve the field and look in sort of non-traditional ways at new and up-and-coming talent. But for people who are interested, you have to put yourself out there somehow and start to learn about the profession.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, Ashley, we're going to end on this one last question. And I really want to know, you've already talked about so many things that give you energy, and you can tell just by the tone of your voice and the amount of knowledge that you have passion for this industry and the work that you do. But I want to know what it is about economic development that really excites you and that keeps you around.
It's the people. It's the people that we work with. It's my team, my bosses, the businesses in the community. You know, the collaboration and the partnership that we enjoy in the Triangle is often imitated but never duplicated. It's a thrill to work with so many different people. And of course, it's not always easy. You know, we have challenges just like everybody else. But by and large, the people just keep you coming back for more. I find economic developers and sort of all the partners to be fun and spirited. And, you know, I've now overused the word passion, but passionate. And it's just a joy. And it's also fun to really roll up your sleeves and think about community challenges and to be on the forefront of those conversations, especially in a fast-growing area like ours, where not a day goes by that we're not talking about transit and transportation, affordable housing, cost of living, all of those things. And we get to be a part of making the decisions that are going to keep our community the great place that everyone enjoys living and being right now. And so that's exciting. And it's not work that everybody gets to do. And so the people and the problems that we get to solve really, really do it for me.
I love it. I'm so glad I got to talk to you. I'm so glad I got to spend about 20 minutes with you and you know, have you pour into our listening audience and also into me, because I feel your zest for it all and I'm excited. So thank awesome. You for being here. Congratulations on being one of North America's top 50 awardees. And I hope we get to see each other in person very soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.